We are all miracles and must make the most of our limited time here. Each of us have these unique gifts to contribute, and it's our job to develop these gifts and give them away. The preschool SLP is about working smarter to create real change in ourselves and in others. Being an SLP is a mission. Let's discuss topics that matter. What are the game-changing strategies? How can we treat the whole child? How can we create the shiniest versions of ourselves and of our clients? We're here at the drawing board for a reason. Together, let's create better. If you work with autism, today's episode is for you. We are going to talk about 6 ways to move away from the speech therapy table and to get into movement to improve communication outcomes for children with autism. Before we dive in, I'm going to give you a little story about my history with movement or lack of movement when I started as a speech pathologist. So when I started working for the first 5 years of my career as a speech pathologist, I was largely sitting at a table with the children and doing developmentally appropriate activities, such as with a farmhouse and farm animals. However, I was sitting at a table or a miniature table to provide some structure. Now, what happened is the girl I worked with the first year I was working, I went and saw her 5 years later when she was in elementary school. And I was very happy with the progress she made in preschool. She had learned to talk. So she was fluently a speaker. And I was excited to see how well she was doing in fifth grade. So I went to the fifth grade classroom to see her and visit her and do an IEP meeting for a new student that was coming into the elementary classroom. And she was in a rocking chair in there, and she was sort of in this fetal position, hunched over, rocking back and forth repetitively. And she said for the entire hour that I was visiting, she just repetitively said, "Speech with Miss Kelly." So for myself, it was an eye-opening experience in which I was like, communication does not occur in the mouth. I realized I see what they mean about 80% of the communication occurring in the body. This girl may as well have been in a straitjacket as she was repetitively rocking. She had no control over her own body. She had no control over the eye environment around her. She had no control of her ability to interact with anyone else. She had her hands wrapped in, she was in a fetal position, and she just rocked vehemently the entire time that it was there for the entire hour and kept saying "Speech with Miss Kelly." And that's when I changed my ways. And what I did is I looked outside of the field of speech pathology because we weren't using a lot of movement in our intervention. And I looked into the field of occupational therapy, to the field of physical therapy, a lot of neuroscience, and education. I was looking into the field of kinesiology and music therapy. And I just had wandering eyes, and I looked in other disciplines outside of my field. And that's when I made great discoveries about how I could, as I said, be a swan and swallow the milk and what nourishes you and spit out the dirt and take what's great from these other disciplines and put them into speech therapy to truly improve communication skills of the children and not just treat a mouth. Because the speech pathologist that worked for the first 5 years of my career, I was like, I know what my job is. I'm about speech and language and augmentative communication. And it all kind of occurs in the head area or with the device that they're using, the AAC device, the PECS. And then now I realized that communication happens to the tips of your toes, to the tips of your tongue, to your facial expressions, it is everywhere in your body and in everything that you do. So today, my therapy has done a 180, and I'm going to share with you the very latest meta-analytic research and 6 reasons why you're going to want to leave that speech therapy table like I did 15 years ago, and you're not going to want to turn back. So the first reason is entrainment. And what we found is that when children were moving that were minimally speaking with autism, they were talking a lot more. So these children were producing more pleasurable vocalizations. They were producing more word approximations. They were producing more words when they were moving than when they were seated at the table. What we did is we took data. This is 10 minutes of them sitting at a table doing this activity. And this is 10 minutes of them doing the same activity, but moving their body across a 5-foot space. And what we found is when they're moving that body across the 5-foot space, they were producing a lot more speech. So entrainment, in which the mouth is going to do what the body is doing, you're going to have more speech. If the body is moving, the mouth will be moving as well. So the second reason why we want to leave the table behind and move that body is because of gross motor skills. Now, the meta-analytic research indicates that improved gross motor skills is highly correlated to language comprehension, language expression, and social communication skills. In particular, language comprehension, for some reason. And I wonder if that has to do with a cascading impact in which if you have stronger gross motor skills, you're more likely to explore the environment. And the more you explore the environment and hands-on experiences, perhaps the greater comprehension you're going to have from firsthand experiencing it using your gross motor skills. So if you're running, you're going to be off and you're going to be all around the yard and getting into everything and having a lot of experiences, more so than if you are crawling or scooting and unable to get around. So there's that cascading impact. The third reason we want to add motor into our speech therapy is to improve fine motor skills. So if we improve fine motor skills, this one is the most significantly correlated to speech, which is no surprise because speech in itself is a fine motor skill. It's like your lips and your tongue. That's fine motor and the maxillary muscles that are moving, retracting and protracting to make these sounds. So this is all fine motor. So fine motor skills and the fingers, to no surprise, is most highly correlated more than anything else to speech outcomes. So it's very correlated to expressive and receptive language outcomes, as well as speech outcomes more than anything else, and gesture communication outcomes, of course. So things like pointing and waving, which are hugely important. Number 4. We want to improve motor imitation outcomes. So when we think about motor imitation outcomes, what I do is I do cueing using my fingers and using my arms in all learning that we engage in. And the reason I do that is because if children with autism imitate your motor actions, that doubles what the research indicates, their mirror neuron activity. Those are the empathy neurons in which when they think, they feel like what you're feeling by seeing what you're doing, if they're doing it as well. So we really want to improve those skills because the research indicates that children at the toddler and early preschool levels that have good motor imitation skills, that is fine motor imitation, these are the children that actually tend to lose their diagnosis as they move into adolescence because of the progress they've made. They no longer fit into the autism eligibility. So it's hugely prognostic of great outcomes, children who could engage in fine motor imitation. So that's huge, which is why I use cueing for speech, for language, for behavior, for executive function. I use cueing all the time. Use your hands, encourage the children to use their hands with you as well. The next one we want to do is pointing is very, very powerful. So number five is we want to encourage pointing as much as possible, And when we think about pointing, think about print referencing, because the research indicates that children pointing to the words as spoken is a really powerful cue for encouraging speech development. Remember, the fingers and the tongue and the lips are very connected through entrainment. So a lot of times, if you're using a sentence strip, the children will first vowelize. And so this is look at car, the and you'll hear the vowels as they tap their finger because of entrainment. Encourage pointing because pointing precedes or just follows the children's first word, even for children with autism. Now, for typically developing children, they tend to point before they combine words. So they would point to the dog and say, da, right? Or gog, right? A word approximation and they're pointing. Now, if they want to say the doggy goes, then they tend to point before they say doggy goes. This is not true with children with autism because many of them are gestalt language learners. And what they do is they tend to say phrases in the gestalt. So they'll say something like, the doggy's going outside instead of dog. Doggy's going outside. So that is the difference there with and pointing coming later. But nonetheless, the point is extremely powerful when it comes to first words and first words development. I encourage them to point to print whenever I am saying it. It's a fun activity. The children love doing that. They love pointing to it. And that is really going to encourage the speech development. Number six, last but not least, we want to encourage motor sequencing through motor planning, motor programming, and motor execution. So this is an area that's very difficult for children with autism, but it's very necessary for them to engage and play with others because play becomes multiple step sequences. It's also important for them to be able to play games with others because games are multiple step sequences. First, you roll the dice, then you pick up your piece, then you proceed to this many numbers, then you drive the car. It's so many steps. I know it's overwhelming just sharing it with you. But you want them to be able to engage in games such as sports, which are multiple step sequences. So to develop that skill in speech therapy, I use task-oriented movement therapy activities with multiple step sequences and have the children talk through those multiple step sequences. So those are six ways that you can move away from the speech therapy table today to truly improve communication outcomes. So hopefully you will never have the experience I had where the child is rocking repetitively and in a fetal position in repeating speech with Miss Kelly 5 years after you saw them for speech. It really wasn't that bad. You cannot ignore motor development. So remember, the center, what's proximal, develops first, then the gross motor, and lastly, the fine motor. Do not ignore the motor development in your speech therapy. It is foundationally important, and learn from my mistakes. So I want you to, very importantly, join me at speechpathology.com. I'm doing a Let's Move segment for Autism Awareness Month, which I'm really excited about. And that's going to be all about task-oriented movement therapy activities. I'm going to walk you through step by step. So check that out at speechpathology.com. Or you can just go and do it. If you're like me and you learn by doing, join the SIS membership, my membership, task-oriented movement therapy, that are doing exactly what I described today every week. And that's how you conduct your speech therapy away from the table. So I encourage you to take all of this information, roll up your sleeves, make sure to join me either at speechpathology.com for the step-by-step how-to and a walkthrough for Autism Awareness Month, or make sure to just do it with me and join me in the SIS membership for the weekly done-for-you activities that your kiddos are going to love that treat the whole child to improve communication skills. I want you to take all of this information, roll up your sleeves, make the world a better place. You are always going to be first.